if you can compromise, I mean, like what you're having for dinner, that's not huge stakes there. But usually,
huge steaks, it could be huge steaks.
They could be deliciously huge steaks.
Very much.
But things that are important are usually the ones that you can't compromise
right.
on. And so clarify, what are the values that you as a couple have that are tied up in this conflict?
You may be one choice away from a thriving marriage. Welcome to the Operation Thriving Marriage podcast with Brian and Jennifer Harvey.
All right. Well, welcome to the Operation Thriving Marriage podcast. I got Todd, our producer, in the studio, and it's myself, Jennifer Harvey, and my husband, Brian Harvey. So glad you're joining us. And we're talking about a little bit of lawyer stuff today, or at least it kind of sounds like it.
Well, yeah, we're talking about compromise. I mean, lawyers, mediation, people who have to make decisions. I had to compromise today on my hat.
Oh, how'd you have to compromise on your
hat? Well, I want to wear a hat because I just like wearing my hat, but I wear a ball cap, and every time I lean forward, I hit the mic with the bill, so I had to turn it around. So I feel like I'm back in high school with my hat on backwards.
Yeah, you got the cap looking like a catcher. I'm thinking the novel Catcher in the Rye right about now.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking I feel like I'm trying to look younger than I am because I'm a middle-aged man that doesn't need to be wearing a cap backwards anymore because that's just not who I am.
That's just funny.
So
but
think I look silly.
Well, you know, we got to add a video component to this podcast so you guys can be just as amused.
But I think Jen took a picture earlier, actually. You might be able to see it on Facebook.
Okay, there you go. There you go. But I think in talking about compromise, I've often said to people that when you're dealing with litigation, if you can come to a settlement, that can be better because you have one side give a bit, have the other side give a bit, instead of it goes before the judge and the judge makes the decision and then everybody walks away very unhappy. But I think that when you talk about compromise in marriage, it's interesting because I think what we're hearing more in pop culture these days is the key to a successful marriage is compromise.
Yeah. Or we even hear, and I hear this a lot, people argue the reason there's a problem in their marriage is my spouse won't compromise.
The whole it's my way or the highway. And
yeah,
that's just how my spouse rolls. So marriage isn't just not working out, not successful, not as happy or as good as it could be because I've got my spouse who's just digging the heels in.
Right. And usually the people saying that are digging their heels in just as much. It's one of those, it's you pull, now I'm going to pull, it becomes a tug of war. But we've elevated compromise really to too high a place in our conversations about marriage, I think.
Oh, why do you say that?
There are times when compromise just simply isn't an option.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, again, just my experience being an attorney, sometimes compromise can just be ridiculous. Just everybody just giving a bit, it's like that can just result in nonsense. And one of the examples that I would kind of put out there when I'm talking to clients is, if the idea is, okay, a pair of shoes need to be worn and somebody's complaining and saying, well, it's got to be the black shoes. Somebody else is saying it's got to be the brown shoes. And then it turns out you've got a black shoe on one foot and a brown shoe on the other foot. Again, utterly ridiculous. And it just makes everybody look bad.
That's foolishness. When couples elevate compromise too high, it actually, it creates more conflict than it helps.
Oh, very true. Because sometimes if you're talking about vacations, right, and somebody wants to go to, you know, Disney World in Florida and somebody else wants to go hiking, you know, up in the Pacific Northwest, I mean, how do you compromise that, right?
You end up in New York watching a Broadway show that neither of you wanted to see in the first place.
Or I don't know, maybe you end up in Idaho. So anybody out in Idaho, I'm sure you have some charming things there. But if we just decided to go someplace in between, literally, I think people aren't going to be happy because nobody's getting what their preference would be.
And that goes back to your statement earlier about legal things being, hey, come to a mediation, come to a settlement before you go to the judge where you have someone who doesn't care about how you feel, just making a decision.
Right.
You know, just based on facts.
And isn't taking into account all of the factors because they're just looking at the law and applying it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't want couples to elevate that compromise too high rather than helping resolve the conflict. It can just create these newer conflicts.
Yeah. I mean, they start we've seen this happen. Couples mm-hmm. start arguing over the lack of compromise. And now you've got a worse conflict than one you had before because there's a sense of unfairness about the idea of compromise. You're making me give something up. So before, you were in a conflict or a disagreement about whether to go hiking or go to Disney World. Well, now you're fighting because the other person refuses to give in on what you want to do or isn't giving in enough. And now it's a conflict B is worse than conflict A was to begin with. And now it's this spiral of arguments.
And I think that what's difficult about that too is that concept of unfairness or the concept of fairness. In fairness can mean very different things to different people. And in me as an estate planning attorney, sometimes I see people saying, well, you know, mom and dad would have wanted it like this, or mom and dad put this down on paper, so it ought to be like this. But, you know, in all fairness to the siblings, we should all decide together to do something else. So again, these different notions of fairness and what is fair under a given circumstance, it's just interesting. And I think I can see that in marriages too. What one spouse would see as being fair and right and just might be very different than what the other spouse is seeing.
And all of a sudden you have all sorts of feelings about it. And
right.
People are all up in their feelings about, well, that's not the, it's not fair. It's not
notions
the way,
of fairness.
It's not the way it ought to be. It's not the way it should be. Reality is, like Jen's shoe illustration, I think that's perfect. There are times when compromise just simply isn't an option. We decided to take our kids out of the public school. And if I'd wanted one school and Jen wanted another school, the option isn't, well, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they'll go to dad's school. And then Tuesday, Thursday, the kids will go to mom's school. That's
oh,
not going to work.
That's ridiculous. Not going to work at all.
Yeah. And also, we recently, I guess it was by the time of recording this, maybe about a year ago, at the church we attend, the pastoral team was doing this series on Corinthians. It was called Centered.
Uh-huh.
And so shout out to GBC and the team out there. Paul never told the Corinthians to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the issues they were facing, it wasn't, well, you guys sit down and talk through and come up with a mutually agreeable solution. We're doing Romans right now, so I've been reading through Romans over and over again, and you get to, you know, chapters 13, 14, 15, when they're talking about the stronger, weaker brother stuff in Romans. Paul never says, okay, guys, figure out, okay, be from this place would be okay, but be from that place not okay. He's like, no, he doesn't tell them to compromise. He tells them to be unified. And the goal is actually mutual sacrifice, not come up with a mutually agreeable solution on this.
Right. And the truth is that compromise is really not a biblical value. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, the Bible never says, I mean, look throughout scripture, if anything, people who compromised were wrong
mm-hmm.
because there were standards.
Yeah, compromising values. I think a good example of that would be Solomon had a pretty strong start, but then when he married and took multiple concubines from different nations and then started saying, well, you know, we're Israel and we're worshiping the one true God, but you know what? We're going to start building temples and we're going to start building places of worship and idols and taking different things like that. It begins with an A and it's some sort of a post. The Asherah?
The Asherah poles.
Asherah. Okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. You know, that's causing all kinds of problems because that's a compromise that just led to his own downfall.
With that being said, that doesn't mean there's no place for compromise in a marriage. It doesn't mean you should never compromise. I mean, deciding where to eat, the age-old perennial question, what do you want? What do you want? So you're deciding where to eat. One person wants chicken. The other wants steak. Just go to a restaurant that serves both.
That's easy.
You know, there are things you can compromise. You know, deciding what to watch on TV. One wants to watch a comedy. One wants to watch a cop show. Watch a funny cop show.
Here we are.
You know?
Yes.
There are places, there are things. So,
or take turns, right?
Take turns. So what we're not saying is that compromise should never be in marriage. There's a lot of places, a lot of important places where you do need to compromise, and it is important and valuable. But you can't elevate compromise to be the only way to solve a solution or the only way to solve conflict. Sometimes you've got to get out of that compromise mode to actually get through the conflict you're facing.
And it, of course, depends on, you know, what you'd potentially be facing in there as well, because, you know, compromising, whether you're praying to and worshiping the one true God, is very different than what are we going to eat tonight, right? So it's just some of these bigger things. But on issues that truly have a win-win option, by all means, it's compromise. There's nothing wrong with that compromise when you can both truly get what you want. A lot of times I think you'd have to get in there and make decisions together when you can't compromise. And in those cases, it's wise to first identify the problem that you're facing right now, just based on this kind of a conflict. Do we compromise? Do we not compromise there? You don't want to focus on problems that you've addressed before. And you also don't want to focus on potential future problems.
Yeah. So you're in a place where there's no win-win in this. There's no, okay, we can both get what we want. Okay. So what is the real problem? First of all, and that's huge, because a lot of times when you actually sit down and talk about it, you'll discover that the real problem isn't the problem that you're arguing about in the first place.
Right.
So it's like,
we talk about that in the book about problem A versus problem B, right?
Right. Absolutely. So identify, okay, this is what we're facing now. And look at today's problem. That's important. We don't want to get into other arguments. Don't talk about, hey, well, last time we compromised and we did this. Okay, that may be great, but today this is different. Focus on where you are now. And next, clarify the values wrapped up in this issue, because usually uncompromisable situations are higher stakes.
Mm-hmm.
If you can compromise, I mean, like what you're having for dinner, that's not huge stakes there. But usually,
huge stakes. It could be huge stakes.
They could be deliciously huge stakes.
Very much.
But things that are important are usually the ones that you can't compromise
right.
on. And so clarify, what are the values that you as a couple have that are tied up in this conflict?
Could you bring that out a little bit?
Yeah. So let's think about money.
Okay.
So some of the values we have of money are financial security and retirement, generosity, wise preparation for our children's future. So when we're looking at how we're going to manage money, we got to look at where are our values that we've agreed
sure.
on. A lot of the times, once we start agreeing on where our values are, it's like, hey, it becomes easier to come to the right decision that you both agree to. Or even though, hey, I really want this, I'll accept sacrificing my desire here because these values are in place.
Right.
So it becomes less about personal preference and emotion and more about what are the kind of people, what's the kind of couple we want to be that God's calling us to be? A big purchase. So you're looking at values like, okay, financial security and retirement, we want to make sure we've got that. We want to make sure we're still being generous, wise preparation. If we have children, you know, having a senior in high school, we're talking a lot lately about wise preparation. How well have we prepared for our children's future as we're getting into that?
And those of you with younger kids, plan early and plan often about the college piece, right?
So yeah. So, or a big purchase. Big purchase could be about a couple of things. The big purchase could be, the right answer could be buy it, or the right answer could not be right, depending on what value is tied to this right now. For instance, is it a value of hospitality? Hey, we're going to be having more people over, and the dining room set and chairs are no longer really acceptable for the kind of hospitality that we ought to be providing. In which case, buying that, making that big purchase would be tied into that value, be right. Or the value could be godliness with regard to a standard of living. Hey, we're not going to spend money on this new table because what we have is perfectly acceptable for the hospitality. You got to look at those values. And it's not necessarily objectively right or wrong. It's what values are we living into, and what's the right decision based on who we want to be.
Yeah, and I think kind of an example that's coming to my mind that we've had in our family is for a long time when our kids were in grade school, and this is pre-pandemic, what we did at the end of every school year is we invited our child's current entire grade at their school over for an end of school party. And that was a cool hospitality kind of piece. And I think it grew as to what we were doing over the years. But we oftentimes ended up getting one of those kind of moonwalk blow up things with a slide. And that was just all kinds of fun and just kind of different kinds of food that we were grilling. A lot of times it was hamburgers and hot dogs. So it's not like we were doing anything, you know, too crazy, just like food that the kids would like. And we had done a snow cone machine. I think we had done a popcorn machine there, and those weren't purchases, those were rentals. But I think just that idea of hospitality, you know, doing that once a year and reaching out to that community was really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was not, but at the same time, there were other things where we didn't make a big purchase because it didn't
reflect the values.
Right. We had, when we first got married, we had that TV that I wanted, and we had that for a long time. And then when it was time to replace it, we got another TV, but we didn't get the biggest TV, or so it's like because
it wouldn't have fit in our house. Those are the biggest kinds of TVs that they make. They don't fit in your house.
Well, no, I mean, but we looked at this like, hey, this is great, but this is for the family. We can spend something here, but it wasn't a hospitality issue. So, and it was, okay, this is,
yeah, our family will enjoy it. It's definitely a nice size, bigger than what we need.
Right.
But it's something where, you know, we could have gone bigger, better, quote unquote, and more expensive, but, you know, didn't have to, so we didn't do that.
Right. And so those different choices that we make based on that, issues regarding in-laws is another one that compromise can be very tricky.
Tricky and prickly, thank you very much.
Yeah, so trickly. That's totally, I wasn't misspeaking. That's totally exactly what I was thinking. I was making up a word. Because
Brian's my modern day Shakespeare. I love you, babe.
There's a lot of values tied into how we interact with in-laws and with our parents. And one, the value of honoring our parents.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? And that looks different between your parents and your spouse's parents.
Yes.
So the idea of each spouse's parents must be treated exactly the same, maybe that works. But if you're from some families, some cultures, they have certain experiences, days, and special events that it's really important. And it would be dishonoring to the parents to say, okay, we're going to do this, then we're going to do the exact same thing for a parent. Like here in Metro Detroit, there's a large Chaldean population. So if you were going to do this Chaldean celebration with one spouse's family, and then it wouldn't even make sense if the other spouse was Caucasian to do it, just, you can't do that. So what does it mean to honor parents? Also, another thing is you want to set the example for how you want your children to treat you once they're married.
And that's a lot of conversations too, right?
Yeah. So that's a value. And then at the same time, you need to prioritize each other and your marriage over the in-laws.
Have to.
So
yes.
When deciding what to do with in-laws, not always capable of compromise because those are values that you have to tie in.
And again, absurdist examples. It's like, okay, you know, if you have a dad or father-in-law that is really into hunting, it might be honoring and positive to go hunting with that one, but, you know, go to the other side of the family and take the dad, father-in-law from there who's not into hunting. Hey, let's go hunting too. That might not be fun or equally as honoring. You can't, like you said, treat them exactly the same because that wouldn't be honoring.
So to my future son-in-law, if you're a hunter, go hunting with your dad and then get a motorcycle and we'll go ride when you're done hunting.
See, plan early. There we go.
So, and of course, it should go without saying that the values should be derived from biblical teaching.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not sure what values apply to your current disagreement, there's some things that you can do. So you can pray together that the Holy Spirit will reveal what values you should be focusing on now. Reading scripture together with an open heart and mind, asking God to reveal what values you should be applying to this decision. Seeking wise counsel from godly friends and family. I mean, scripture says specifically, plans fail for lack of many counselors. The church exists for us to grow, to be more godly. That means there's people around you that can help you say and talk you through, hey, what values are tied into this? And maybe show you, okay, these values make sense for this decision, but does this value, is this value really apply in this particular situation? And then, of course, your pastor. You know, pastor, someone on staff, or a spiritual leader of some sort that can actually sit down with you, that loves God, that knows scripture, that can help you walk through some of these thorny issues. And,
sure.
And guide you in a way that's going to help you see those values.
Could be a small group leader, could be a church elder. So there's a lot of options available to you.
And so then after you've done this, after you've looked at, identified, hey, here's the problem, you've identified the values, then you decide together what resolution best reflects your values. And it may not be a compromise. And one of you may have been more right at the beginning of this thing, but likely you were both off and you're going to find a third option, because now you've looked at it not from my preference, but from values.
That's exactly right. And it's important to be able to compromise to make a marriage thrive. But compromise, as we've discussed here, is not always an option. There will be times when you have to decide without compromise. To resolve a conflict when compromise is not an option, focus on your values, and those should be biblical values. Focus on what kind of couple and what kind of family you want to be and continue to grow into. Compromise can be very easy. Resolving differences when compromise is not an option is how you grow closer together as a couple. Thank you for joining us for the Operation Thriving Marriage podcast. Feel free to check in with us and visit us and reach out to us at operationthrivingmarriage.com. You can visit us at our Facebook page. Please follow us and share this so to get the word out about our podcast. And we look forward to having you join us the next time.
Jen and I started Operation Thriving Marriage to help couples and churches take marriages from merely surviving to thriving. We've got our book, we've got a blog, and resources for our coaching ministry, and you can bring us out for an Operation Thriving Marriage experience. For more information, go to OperationThrivingMarriage.com. That's OperationThrivingMarriage.com.